Hey everybody, welcome back to the Spocast. Johnny Cashmere here, and we're gonna get some more peeps up in here. Tommy Grayson, what's up, brother?
Whoop whoop, my brother. How you doing? Tommy Grayson in the house. And let me just real quick crack this Faygo open on tap. How you doing?
Hell yeah. What's up, everybody? BJ Drinks Beer said, dude, Gotch versus Blade. Holy shit. Hell yeah, BJ. So hell there yeah. It is. Mind is blown. That's it. We're going to show that in a second. Let's get Donnie B up in this piece. What's up, Donnie?
What's up, Badass? Yeah, we got to talk about that match and the other stuff you got brewing for that night, my friend.
Hell yeah, we do. We got a lot of stuff coming up tonight, guys. A lot of stuff coming up. So we can get right into it, guys. We promised, if you paid attention, if you read the preview, we talked about that we are going to have some people here from Wrestling Is Now. We know it as WIN. They run events in North Jersey. It's run by one of the SAT. Well, the SAT, Joel Maximo, Skills the Great, Jose Maximo, Will Maximo. There's a Will Maximo, Donnie. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know Will Maximo.
Really? Oh, yeah, that's right. I knew there was another.
That's right. In our day, there was no Will Maximo. He was tucked away. He was hidden. All right, like so let's get him on here. What's up, Skills?
Hey girl, what's going on, family? How y'all doing? Cashmere,
how you doing, Donnie, Skills?
Grayson.
What up, Skills? Good to see you, brother.
We in the building. Glad to be here.
We're trying to get Joel up in here. Joel's having issues with the new technology, you know, the cell phones. So we're trying to get him up in here.
He's got a cord on it, yeah.
But for those that don't remember the first champion, good. I want to remind people, everybody, listen. So Skills is a representative here of Wrestling Is Now, like we just said, but he's also the manager of the first ever SPO champion, Homicide.
That's wow. Right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So that's pretty
got
cool
a history
too.
With you guys.
Yep. He's a SPO original. What up, Delco?
Thanks.
Let me get situated here, gentlemen.
Yep. 7:02. That's about when you should be getting situated. Love it.
In the in the green room with the trademark Rick now and Morty green shirt.
Yeah.
Damn, Leo Connor's in the house from up in New England. Hell yeah. What's up, Leo?
What up, man?
Hell yeah. How you doing? Love the belt on Tommy. Yes. That's right. The champions. These guys are the Juggalo Championship Wrestling Tag Team Champions. So proud of them. Aren't you proud of them?
Nice belts right there.
Thank you. I'm so proud, bro. It just. I keep saying, like, I sound like a broken record, but the whole JCW thing is so big just on an indie level or any level for that matter. I mean, I personally consider it right up there, man, with MLW, NWA, and some of these other touring companies out there. If you look at what they're doing and what they have pen to paper as far as shows coming up and the scope of what they do, it's gigantic, bro. Don't sleep on that because a lot of people have taken notice.
That's right. Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, JCW Lunacy is currently airing live on YouTube weekly over at Wednesdays. That's Wicked Whoop Whoop Wednesdays, dropping every week. We are currently 2 episodes deep, and tomorrow, of course, is going to be episode 3 of JCW Lunacy. This is all leading up, of course, to the Train of Terror tour in October, which is going to be capped off by Devil's Night, October 30th, the first live edition of JCW Lunacy, and then the grand finale, Holla Wicked, live in Detroit, headlined by JCW and the Insane Clown Posse. I mean, Donnie said it best. It doesn't get much bigger on the independent level. And, you know, I would think that JCW is a lot bigger than independent at this point. So get your tickets now, folks.
We might as well show this right now, too. Just a quick promo for the Lunacy episode 2 that is out. You can watch right now.
I didn't hear what you said.
He's calling for the Sabu. The great Sabu. Here goes.
Off the ropes.
Holy shit.
He's down hard.
Dear Lord.
Yeah, that's a rough.
Yeah, Facade is awesome, isn't he, guys?
Yeah, he can work.
That's amazing.
He is, right? He's and we amazing. Got him, too. Would you guys see this? We got Facade coming and Danny Moe going to be debuting in SPO Wrestling at the Casino November 2nd.
Hello there.
Pretty excited.
That's a hell of a card right there.
Thank you, brother. Speaking of hell of a card, Joel's trying to get in and he can't. So I think you're going to be doing this one alone, Skills the Great.
It's all good. We're here.
You're going to be the knight in shining armor of Wrestling Is Now because you're going to hit everything you got to hit, brother. Let's get this done.
I'm here.
So let me ask you this. Obviously, you saw the promo Channing Decker put out the other day. Can I play that real quick? Fine.
I would, yeah.
All right, let's show this, everybody.
Kids, behave for your mother. It's a new school year. Hola, Joel. No, I'm just shooting the vlog right now. No, literally, I'm walking around the neighborhood. What's up? I know, September 21, the Mecca, Ridgefield, New Jersey. I'm excited, man. Win debut. Yeah. No, I got to thank you, man. I'm excited for the opportunity. Hey, what do you think about this? I want to run something by you. You know, Face and I, we've been building this relationship. He's the champ. I'm Johnny's champ. Why don't we up the stakes? Why don't we do title versus title, September 21? Spicy, huh? I love it. Yeah, hardcore, baby. Falls count anywhere. Okay, gracias, amigo. I'll see you then. Ciao. It's about to get hardcore win. Yeah!
I couldn't believe the news when I heard it. Yep, that was crazy.
First of all, you're not going to speed past that like you didn't just say what you just said.
Well, I was going to say, you know, say what you want about our world champion, but he cuts a hell of a promo. He puts time and effort into his promos, and, you know, he does look good holding the belt around his shoulder. But personally, I think Face might, you know, I might be team Face going into this win show, guys. I don't know about y'all.
It's just so out of left field with Face. We saw a transformation in Face, like him and I wrestled in that death match. You know, it's like Face and I survived uneffing necessary. A lot of people said we took things too far. One of the reasons we're not running an event this Saturday is probably because of that, if we're being honest.
I was going to say that.
You know, so I don't know what mindset Face is in. I did hear rumors that the High Five said if you tag with Kashmir, you're out, but he never got a chance to tag with me. So we don't know where his mind is. So we'll see what happens. But for him to be coming in there already as a champion and win, and now to take on Decker, and Decker even said it's his debut in win. He doesn't wrestle a lot in this area. So even for him to be here is going to be a big deal. For him to be putting that gold title on the line is an even bigger deal. So next Saturday, I mean, anything can happen. Let's be honest.
And it's going to be a guaranteed winner. No disqualification, false count anywhere. So someone will leave with both titles. No fuck finish. Is going to be a finish to this. Somebody's going to be a new invitational or a new SPO heavyweight champion.
So
that sums it up right there.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Donnie took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Good. Well, that's it. That's it. And also on the event, yours truly is going to be wrestling. I'm wrestling a guy named Whiplash.
Oh.
So there you have that. Guys can see me. There I am in my silver.
That might be match of the night right there.
Yeah. You know, we'll see. Hindsight 2020 and all. But thank you. But I'm excited for that. But I want to talk. You have something to announce, too, about a Roku deal, right? Do you want to talk about that real quick and explain that?
Yes. So we signed a deal with Fashion of – no, what was their name? Freak, I forgot their name. Damn. Well, we signed with a channel at Roku. So we should be streaming our pay-per-views there. We're going to have video on demand. We're going to have audio on demand, meaning we're going to have podcasts there. And we're going to have original content coming there, too. So I'm very excited for that.
Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we'll put awesome, more man. News. Yeah, more news on that here.
That's huge.
It's the Art of Fashion TV on Roku.
That's so big, bro. I'm happy for you guys. Whenever you can get other eyeballs on your product, any way, shape, or form, other streams of eyeballs coming into it, the more you can disseminate your content, the better off you are, especially with any kind of rap. Everybody knows what Roku is. So I think that's going to be awesome. I'm definitely going to check it out.
Appreciate you.
That's more of a centralized streaming service, too, because it's a windfall for everybody.
Yeah, that's huge, man. They don't just give those out.
No, they don't. Right. And it's expensive to get an app on Roku.
Yep.
I know that is.
I saw the numbers.
Yeah.
He said, Joel said if you could bring him in, if you can.
I can't. It still says device not connected. Yeah. I see he's trying to get in, but I'll know. Once he's okay, I'll know to let him in. It's just not working. He does it.
Joel, restart your everything.
It's happened to a lot of people. It happened with Danny Rose. It happened with Dirty Deeds, Darren Wise. It's happened with plenty of other people on here. They're
probably using their phone.
That's what it is. That is what it is. They're using their phone. Exactly. So real quick, guys. You know I live in New Jersey, right? I found this today. Check this out.
Oh, so yeah, there's I've a snake that. Warning. I've seen that. Mm-hmm.
Like what? Just anything. Like the up near the Graysons, there was a big spider warning earlier this summer. Do you guys remember that? Where these real big spiders?
It was flying spiders, right? Oh no!
Yeah.
Nasty. Skills knows what I'm talking about. You know, them shits was invading New York like it was that David Arquette movie, Eight-Legged Freaks. It was disgusting.
It's absurd, man. And then before that, we had the lantern flies, man. I'm telling you, it's been.
We still have those. We still have them, and they evolved and they mutated, and their antennae look you in the eye, and it's no, they're disgusting.
Yeah, if you try to bump them, they move quick, dude. Like they see it coming. They don't sell.
No,
they're intelligent.
Yeah,
bro, that's a wrestling gimmick, like Ultra Mantis.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, that kid from Pittsburgh. Mantis. Yeah, remember with Jackie? Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a kid that came to the ring dressed as a mantis.
So the lantern, the lantern fly.
Zorak, I love it.
We're not even lying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Space Ghost, Coast to Ghost. That was awesome.
May I help you? That's the greatest show of all time, I think. It's definitely up there, Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
So I would wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah, I want to play a little game here. Skills, you're going to be my... I want to see if you know any of these three men. If you can, I'm going to put a picture on the screen of three men, and you name any of the three if you can, okay? Ready?
Okay, try. Yeah, of course. Damn, I know all three of them. My man died young. My man with the long hair. Then you got fucking Sheen, Charlie Sheen, and Charlie then the Sheen. Old guy. He'd be on all the fucking movies back in the day in the 80s. Fucking damn, I forgot
the Triple Lindy back to school.
Rodney Dangerfield.
But Rodney Dangerfield, exactly. Yep. I know
and Sam Kinison.
And then I remember, he was a comic. I remember him coming out on Married with Children back in the day too.
That's right.
That's right. Wow. Awesome. Good job, dude. I'm impressed that you knew those guys.
Yeah.
Era of the times. So.
Oh. Whoa. That's a beautiful, ugly sweater right there.
Yes, it is.
We were just talking about Golden Girls today, guys.
We were. It's too many coincidences in life lately. And the fact that you just pulled out a Golden Girls artifact is... beyond me.
You know what blows my mind? All those women in that show when they filmed it, I'm almost positive that Estelle Getty, who was playing the oldest one, was actually the youngest.
Right. Yes, she was.
I believe Beatrice Arthur was actually the oldest, and I'm pretty sure some of them, Rue McCallahan, might have been like 54 or 55. Yep. I'm 52. Crazy. So that's horrifying that I'm almost of the age of Rue.
It was older back in the day though.
You see what's coming out now? It's like all the outtakes and bloopers from that show. It's fantastic.
Oh, man. It must have been hilarious filming that. That's why they did it for so long.
The four of them, like, together must have been, like, you know, the kings of comedy of their day. Like, so ahead of its time. I think if Golden Girls were to come out now, it would be, like, the equivalent of what White Lotus is today. Like, just every girl.
I mean, Betty White. It was probably the most amazing person on that show just because of the fact that she would just ad-lib. She was very sharp. I even have this clip from Lake Placid of her.
If I had a dick, this is where I'd tell you to suck it.
And she was sexy when she was young. I seen a picture of her when she was young. I was like, oh, look at Betty White.
She was. Looking she was good. A bad she was a bad bitch, as they say.
Facts.
But Donnie, you're right about their age. It was like four female Arn Andersons living together.
Basically, yeah.
Lundy's.
Yeah.
But no, you see more and more of that. When you're scrolling through Instagram, you see more of like, Archie Bunker was this age when like he was 45, on top of the world. And, you know, Lady Gaga's already this age. And you're like, what the frig? Like, yeah. Everyone,
I think their styles to look older. Yeah, I think
it's ready. You ready for this little? You ready for this little fact? Yep. What was it? Who was the person that did the diabetes commercial?
Oh,
I know what you're going to say. Go ahead and say Brimley. It.
All right. Paul Rudd is older than him now.
Yeah. The motherfucker was like 49 or 50 when he filmed Cocoon.
Yeah. Wilford Brimley.
That's a shoot. He was. I'm older than Wilford Brimley when he filmed Cocoon.
Paul Rudd's older than him, and he looks like eternally 30.
Wasn't he Bartles and James Wine Coolers too, Donnie?
Yeah, he was one of them, and he was the he pitched the oatmeal too. I forgot what Quaker, it was. Quaker Oats, maybe?
One of Wilford
Brimley put over oats.
Wow.
All right, gentlemen. So I have the new models for those little pocket cameras now.
Oh shit, that's cool as hell.
And I have four of them now. I'm actually using one as my camera because it can actually follow.
And it follows you. Oh, we got a tracking.
Whoa.
I like yes.
that. Wow, check out these gadgets.
Is that on a tripod or something?
Yeah, it's on a tripod right now.
Oh, man. That's cool
it comes with a mini tripod. So it actually, I can find it here.
We'll have to put the link up or tell us where we can get that. That's cool.
What up, Coach?
DJI, Pocket Osmos 3.
Oh, so that's awesome.
Here's the actual tripod that comes with it with the combo creator kit. And you just pop it into here and it's it. That's it. And these are all.
My buddy's got something like that. He's his
setup. Yeah, it's amazing. It is amazing.
Well, so I'm just now beholding the fact that you're in a green room.
Yeah, this is my home office.
See?
Jeez.
These are audio mute sound deadening green screen panels. So they are soundproofing and also green screen.
Wow. Nice. I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah. Do you happen to have a green book or a copy of the Green Book CD by any chance?
I do not.
That is the only thing missing from that room.
What about a copy of Behind the Green Door? Do you have that?
No. Yes. This is my reading of choice.
Whoa. Oh my god.
And there's nothing in there.
Audio only podcast this week, everybody. Yeah. Gee whiz. That's good stuff. I don't know, man. I picture like the heart dungeon. I feel like you're really in the heart dungeon, it feels like. Like we just need woodwork on the wall, and that's where you're at. Like dude, we can get some mileage out of that room.
Huh?
Park on some of Yellow Jackets. He's screaming right now.
I gotta go take care of my son.
Go ahead.
All right.
Have a good one. Go ahead.
Yo, guys, that's almost like Donnie. Do you know what the holodeck?
I thought that was a sound clip.
Me too. Do you know what the holodeck is in Star Trek?
Yeah, I do.
Dude, he's in the holodeck. Yeah.
Hold on, we just glossed over the fact that his son came in and said somebody got stung by Yellow Jackets and they were screaming.
I think so. Yeah.
I think so.
That's what I heard.
Well, there's a series on Showtime called Yellow Jackets, so it could have been talking about that. We don't know.
No, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah,
let's hope that it's nothing serious.
Real quick, while we have a pause, I'd like to give a big shout out to friends of mine, and he's going to come on here one night as soon as we get him wrangled in. But my buddy Andrew Bufumo, the Power Child, everybody on the social media knows him as AJ and Big Justice. With the Rizzler. They're like literally the hottest things in the country. They're huge. They're blowing up everywhere. Known him for almost 30 years. Andrew, friends with his family. We're the ones who actually got him started at Mike Sharp's when it moved to Asbury. He was friends with Charlie and Russ Haas. That's how we met him from Seton Hall. And when they got started, they brought him down. And we hit it off. We've been friends with him forever. But I want to give him a little shout out because one of the videos he just put out the other day, my daughters were featured in it. And he actually got over 1 million views as of yesterday.
Nice.
So the girls were real excited about that. Andrew was excited. And he was actually on the AEW pay-per-view the other night, the pre-show. Him and his son, they brought them into Chicago. Little peel behind the curtain, I spoke to him about it, and he said everybody was awesome. They could not have been cooler. The atmosphere was upbeat, great camaraderie. So regardless of what you hear out there in the sheets and all that, don't always believe it. This is an actual account from someone who was there that I trust wholeheartedly. They said it was fantastic. Jeff Jarrett, he particularly remembered named Jeff Jarrett going above and beyond, as well as Amanda Huber, who really looked out for him. And it was like their handler when he got there. And there was another gentleman, too, whose name escapes me at this moment. But he said everybody was so cool And he's got some announcements coming out about some stuff he's going to be doing to AEW. So I'm real excited for him. Great family. And I want to get him on here one night just to talk about the power of social media. And he's been plugging this a long time, man. He's been working at this real hard. And, you know, some stuff finally stuck. And that's what happens when you go viral, if you know how to ride it. So I'd like to get him on here one night just to talk about the way the whole procedure went, how he went about it, and some tips maybe for other content creators out there. I think it would really be a pretty awesome episode if we could get him or Big Justice on here, and maybe the Rizzler too.
Oh, I'm a big mark for the Rizzler. I fell down a Rizzler rabbit hole the other night, and let me just say I'm fully on board for anything involving those guys. I think that whatever they've done as far as social media right now, it's genius, and I think we could all learn a lot from them as far as branding and marketing, and you know, just being students of the game. And I have noticed that they. Big Andy's been plugging away for a long time. So it's not an overnight success, guys. For anyone thinking that social media is just a 1-2 snap and a go, it's never. No. People plug for years at anything. And it really is a skill.
They were ready for it. That was the key. They had the infrastructure in place. They had all the ducks in a row. So when something finally did hit, they didn't have to waste 6 months trying to figure out what to do. And there's a whole science behind this with algorithms and time of release of when you release stuff during the day. Like, dude, it's mind blowing. I can't even pretend. I know more about space travel than I do about this, which is nil. But I'm so happy for them, dude. Couldn't happen to a nicer family. And you know, my daughters get a big kick out of it. They're around school. They're like, you know, everybody's coming up to them. Hey, you guys are on this video and this and that. So it's kind of cool. It's all fun. The message that Andrew puts out there is just positivity and good family fun. The world needs a little bit of that. That's what I really like, that their message doesn't change. They just continue with what they're doing and they put it out there, and you can, there's a lot of people that don't like it or they shit on them, whatever. He doesn't care.
Everyone's going to have haters.
But he's explained that to the kids, you know,
that's a good thing.
This is the wave, you ride it. You know what I mean? It's as long as you can and you have fun with it and then you move on to something else. So I'm happy for them, but I'll get him on here one night.
And Donnie, I saw the video he made, him and his son, with Sammy Guevara. And Big Justice made Sammy Guevara look very small. Big Justice is not a small man.
No,
Big Justice I think 12 or 11. Yeah, 11 or 12.
Okay, then I'm hold on a minute. I thought Big Justice was Bufumo, was Tundra. No,
Andrew is the big one.
Okay, Andrew made Guevara look tiny.
Yeah, big AJ. AJ's big dude. He's about 6'3", runs around 240, 250.
Yeah. So do I have to say what everyone's got to be friggin' thinking? I mean, is this guy going to wrestle on AEW, even on an undercard?
Not saying a word.
Think about it. I would have him wrestle on a friggin' pre-show and put it on free so that people buy the pay-per-view. You know what I mean? But you watch.
Bookmark,
something's going to happen.
Bookmark that.
Something's going to happen. It's got to. He's bigger than half the roster, and he can work. We know he can work. He was in locker rooms with us when you were running Phoenix Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
He could work a camera. That's all that matters.
Well, he was on at the pre-show the other night. He said everybody couldn't have been cooler. He also especially shouted out Bear Bronson and what's his partner's name? The real big
Boulder. Boulder. Those are my those are my boys. Yeah.
He said they could not have been cooler. They did a little thing with them during their match where they acknowledged him or hugged him or something outside. I didn't see it, but He said these guys were so cool. I had to remind him that they were at the Lacey show. They were there.
They were. I remember that. Yeah. He put them over
million bucks and just said how cool they were and how nice they were. And so I was glad to see that we're now in a day and age where somebody can be accepted from, even though Andrew's been in the business, a lot of those people had no idea. And once he told a lot of them, you know, he knew Nova and he threw out a bunch of names and they accepted you a little more. But like Sanjay knows who he was and Daniels and all of them, they all knew who he was. But a lot of people don't. So you could be treated as an outsider. But I think more and more people are starting to come around and go, wait a minute, just like with Logan Paul, if this guy can come into our company and bring X, Y, and Z eyeballs and money and sponsorship and all this shit, hell, man, I'm all for it. Instead of being like some curmudgeon that says, oh, fuck that guy, he doesn't deserve it. Why is he getting that big payday and this and that? All that kind of dumb shit. So, that's what I think.
Nice.
Yeah.
Let's try to get Joel Maximo in here. Let's see if it works, you guys. Ready? Let's throw a Hail Mary pass. We're going to pull the pin, throw the grenade.
Please.
Yay! Hey! Get it, baby.
What's up, boys? What up, man?
Look at that beautiful, beautiful tag team specialist.
We can hear you loud and clear, bro.
What's up, boys?
How you doing? How you doing?
I love it. What's up, brother? Thanks for being here. So, dude, tell us a little bit about Wynn and your vision and what we have coming up for people that don't know. What is wrestling is now and what do we have going on, brother?
Well, wrestling is now is I don't see the difference in wrestling. Basic wrestling is the same. It's just
Sorry, brother. I don't know what's going on. It's just not working Mike. Right.
It's your mic is shitty.
We'll have to get him back in.
Mic is shitty. Just take off your mic. Use the speakerphone.
Plus, he's got people in the background or something.
You got to go high somewhere.
It keeps it going, yeah. So it is what. Listen, in all honesty, I just asked Joel to be on like a couple hours ago. It's not like he's known for days,
no,
or anything. We actually had a different guest planned, and some plans changed, and we sort of were scrambling last minute. And I know that we have this event coming up next Saturday. I was going to bring these guys on next Tuesday, but I figure why not do it a week and a half early? Give people more chance to buy tickets and things like that. You know what I mean? So skills we just talked about. That you're doing, we're doing the title versus title, the SPO gold title, Channing Decker's putting on the line against Face. But the back seats are losing their minds. And they have something they wanted to run by you at some point. I don't know when we're going to get to that, Tommy, but at some point, I think that's why the belt is on his shoulder right now. And that's why our show is called Winners Take All. So make of that what you will, Tommy. If you want to talk now, you can. If you want to wait till later, you can.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say this, you know, for those who don't know, there was supposed to be a match between the Backseat Boys and the Rep scheduled for September 14th. Now, due to the circumstances that were put out there last week, I'm not going to repeat them. Obviously, Legends Never Die will not be taking place. However, I'm a defending champion anytime, any place, as is my brother JP, because part of being a Backseat Boy and part of being the JCW champion is willing to put it all on the line to get what's yours. And let's just say there's multiple tag teams out there that have what's not theirs, that have what belongs to the Backseat Boys. So if the show is winner take all, make it how you make it. But, you know, I think it's safe to say that we're putting ours on the line. So anyone who wants to try and take this off my shoulder, you know, show up with something on yours and I guarantee you'll leave without it.
Wow.
Oh.
Well, I know the Rep are available. I know for a fact the Rep are available on the 21st, and they have the tag titles. So if they're willing to put the belts up on the line, and you guys have the unit, I believe, with the win.
We got the unit, Wynn Heavyweight, the Wynn Tag Team Champions.
Mm-hmm. A three-way title unification match. I don't know, man. It's a different – I've never heard of such a thing. I don't know. Let's see if we can get Joel back in here. Hold on.
Let's give it a shot.
You there?
How about we guarantee a winner?
No.
Joel, bro, you need
Wait, Joel, just stay in. You can hear us. If you agree, you could just go like up and down like this. And if you disagree, you go like this. So yeah.
Oh man, skills, his mic. Skills,
you're totally empowered to make matches and win or no.
Of course. I booked this last event.
All right. So maybe we're keeping Joel out on purpose. Maybe he's gonna say hell no.
Yes. Yeah. How about this? We do it the same way as Face and Decker's match. Guarantee winner. Finish. Someone has to win the belts. So someone will be leaving there with what? Three titles?
Three titles from three different feds.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Putting it all on the line. And think of it like this. You win the SPO titles. That guarantees you a place on November 2nd.
Second.
Yep. You win the Wynn titles, that guarantees you a spot on the Wynn Roku channel and all Wynn Wrestling Is Now events moving forward. But if you manage to leave with the Juggalo Championship Wrestling Tag Team titles, that puts you directly in position to go on tour with not just Juggalo Championship Wrestling, but the Insane Clown Posse. Okay? I don't have to tell you how big of a deal that is. Okay? We're talking about a multi-platinum 30-plus-year national touring group, okay? Let's face it,
wrestlers.
WWE future Hall of Famers. Let's get the facts straight, okay? All right. And I'm rocking that belt. Okay, that's what this belt means. It means being able to actually go and represent a company that is bigger than anything in independent wrestling, than anything in wrestling right now. Okay. There are very few music acts that have the stroke and the ability to do what the ICP does. So being in that position, it's nothing to take lightly. That's why I'm willing to put it all on the line. So yes, Skills, you will be leaving with three sets of tag team titles, but it's not just a position that anybody could hold.
Well, hey, listen, he said it all. Johnny, you got to make that happen.
Donnie, yeah, I think they're crazy. Right,
we make it happen here. It's going to happen. If you down, I'm going to put our title on the line. Said he bringing the rep over. Let's do it.
I'm keeping my mouth shut. Backseats, when the rep came on the Spocast and challenged the backseats to put the JCW tag belts on the line, I stepped in. I told the backseats, be careful, blah, blah, blah. This time, I'm shutting up. These guys know what they're doing. The same force inside of me that guides me is inside of them. I've seen it. So they know what they're doing. If they really think that putting these belts on the line in this match is the best thing to do, then I'm going to just support it blindly, and I'm going to be there for them, much like Donnie was for us, much like Skills is for the SAT, and much like the Graysons have been there for me. So that's what I owe them. So
the doors
good luck,
open
guys.
For the rep. Yep, the doors are open. I win for the rep if they want to defend their titles there on the 21st.
Hey, yeah. if they're defending champions, they'll show up on the 21st, and they will try and take this from me and try and win and take those win tag belts, because we never lost those win tag titles. For those of you who aren't aware of the Wrestling Is Now history, and Skills knows what I'm talking about, Cashmere knows what I'm talking about, Big 80s knows what I'm talking about, there is this repeated pattern of the tag team titles exchanging hands and the former champions not even being the ones to be pinned for it. So I'm going to double down, and I'm going to say this, that I will make sure that not only do we leave with our JCW tag team titles, but I will break the streak and bring everything full circle and bring back the gold that my brother and I never lost at Wrestling Is Now.
Wow.
Because that right there is what means the most to me, being able to continue a legacy.
You guys are the inaugural Wrestling Is Now tag team champions.
Bingo.
And you will be the first, second, two times Wrestling Is Now tag team champions. So that's history right there, if you guys win it, though, because it's not going to be an easy task right there. You're champions against champions against champions.
Well, just remember this. We won those belts by defeating three of the best tag teams in the world in one night. So I think it's safe to say that if anyone could do it again in a single match in a single night, the backseats are the ones to do it.
Boom. Hell yeah, you can, guys. That's pretty crazy, man. That's crazy. A three-way tag, and you're right. You can get pinned and loot, not get pinned and still lose your title. It's a crazy match.
Somebody's going to not get pinned and lose their titles.
It's no point. It's putting it on the line.
My mind is like going through a labyrinthian ideas of what can happen in this match already right now.
Right.
Johnny, your future is directly affected as well.
That's what I'm trying to think about here.
Part of the conglomeration, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Mine's too, because my belt is leaving. My belt is like
Skills and Johnny could be on the outside with a tin cup in their hand, uh-huh, collecting money at the end of the night if this don't go.
So the usual. So Matt Dreamon said three-way tag match for all three belts. That's what it's looking like.
Wow.
Yep. And it is going to take first on the 21st, and whoever wins, Danger Ginger will be there. Defending the SPO tag team titles November 2nd.
Yeah, the unit could leave with all the belts. The unit could leave with all the belts and go on tour.
Yeah.
Talk about a winning ticket.
Yeah.
Skipping huge into a pot of gold, man. Tripping into a pot of gold. This is good. This is a lot of opportunity for a lot of people. And Skills, the event looks awesome. I mean, and someone's asking me what happens with Pat Dynamite. Listen, guys, I want you to understand something. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Of course, he's in line for a SPO title match, but I have a feeling the reason Zandig gave him the SPO title match against Decker last show wasn't necessarily about the belt. I think it was to get his dog back. And November 2nd is a long time to wait without the dog. So we're devising a scheme to get this dog back. That's all I'll say right now.
Yeah.
Keep checking our social media.
Well, this is a perfect segue, Johnny, actually. So for those of you who have or haven't been keeping up with Trip TV, all six episodes are currently available right now on YouTube. But what I'm currently working on, which is going to actually segue into not only November 2nd, but the future of the Backseat Boys, is a Trip TV season one full episode master cut on YouTube. There was a couple of things that maybe didn't make it into the, you know, episodes when they had initially meant to. A lot of stuff was left on the cutting board, as they say. That's not the case this time around. This is going to be the master cut. Everything is going to be, you know, checked ahead of time. It's going to debut next Tuesday after the Spocast at 8 p.m. It's going to be long. So, you know, it's put it on and watch it when you can. But what I wanted to segue into was Trip TV as we know it right now, its current format is at a bit of a crossroads. And that's simply because we were in a position where we had to fill in gaps. Those gaps have sort of filled themselves in right now, and we're not looking to do things the way that we once were pre-Legends Never Die. So Trip TV will return in the future in some form, but it will not be what dictates the rate at which SPO content is put out, so to say. You're going to see a lot more traditionally today formatted shows, you know, and what that means is we're going to be looking to live stream. We're going to be looking to do things and have Trip TV sort of be an added bonus, not the main content that SPO puts out. And the main reason for that is because, as announced on the Humble Among broadcast the other day, for those who were listening, and I'm going to say it now, we are currently going to be working on the 25th anniversary Silver Backseat Boys documentary. And that's going to be covering 25 plus years of Backseat Boys between not just myself and JP, but Johnny Cashmere, Big 80s Donnie B, and Trent Acid. And this comes when we were very uncertain for a long time on if there was going to be a Dark Side of the Ring being produced on Trent. And after sitting on the news for some time, I think it's only fair to say, gentlemen, that, you know, we have to be honest, Johnny, you know, I was with you when we received the news, we will not be getting a Trent Acid Dark Side of the Ring.
Donnie, do you want to talk on that at all? The dark side? I know you sort of spearheaded the operation on our end.
Yeah, we can. We never spoke about it before now, because no. I wasn't sure we wanted to pull back the curtain, but those that don't know, Dark Side of the Ring was interested in doing an episode on Trent Acid. And we went through all the vetting process. The producer, who could not have been nicer, I won't reveal her name. She was a wonderful woman. She worked with us hand in hand. She actually got in touch with Johnny first. And then I think Brett Lauderdale too, right?
Yep.
Brett. Johnny, myself.
Violent Tommy, J as well.
JP, Violent J. And she asked me for a couple other people. I actually had Dan Moff on talking as well. So they talked to all of us and gathered all the stories, all the content. And then they do what's called a pitch. So they get all the information. They write their pitch. They bring it to the producers. And they have however many dozens of topics. They keep narrowing it down. And they select 8 or 10 or whatever it was. And at the end of the day, I'm not sure exactly what happened. But we all pretty much got the call the same day that they were not going to move ahead with that episode. And I don't know if there was a blockade with some of his family members, or they just decided. I have a hard time believing they didn't think the story was mainstream enough, only because some of the other topics I've seen them cover were guys that I've never really even heard of. And I've, you know, been around wrestling and known about wrestling since 1978. So no offense, like I said, but Trent's story is so much more than just an independent wrestler. It's a story of salvation and hope and redemption and battling demons. It really was. And the way her and I spoke about it at length, and we really had a hell of a story that was going to be told. So I think it was Tommy or one of the guys came up and said, listen, if we're not going to do an official Dark Side of the Ring episode, Trent's story deserves to be told. So at least we can have the freedom now to do this and produce it in a manner that we want to produce it and have as many people involved as we can. Trent touched so many lives. You can't go into a locker room in 2024 and mention the name Trent Acid and everybody goes, oh my God, I was influenced by him. I would go out on a limb and say, other than maybe the NIL athletes or guys who, like, you know, Logan Paul, whoever, I'm just saying the guys that come from outside the business, anybody from within the business that's in the business right now was influenced by Trent Acid. So I just hope we can do it justice. And we want to have a couple of people we're going to reach out to and sit down and really mastermind this and do something that we can be proud of that can last 100 years from now. When aliens come down and when colonize this planet or whatever happens and we're all dust, I want somebody able to hit a button in the airwaves and say, oh, what is this thing called the Trent Acid or the 25th anniversary of the back seats, and read it and enjoy and see it and enjoy it. So I'm excited for that. And we can't tell the good without the bad. So when it comes to Trent, we're going to tell everything. You know what I mean? We'll have as many people on as we can. I think Tommy and Johnny are going to spearhead that portion of it. And I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the world to get a chance to see Trent's full story. That's what I'm excited for.
Thanks for talking on that, Donnie. You know what occurs to me, too, and I think that's what we're getting at here, is yes, we could easily make a documentary about Trent Acid. But like you said, there's a bigger story. The Backseat Boys brand is a bigger story in a way, and Trent is a part of it. You know, it's like a it's like a whirlwind, a whirlpool in a river.
You know? Yeah, 100%. I think the brand and the idea and the concept and everything else and all the good that's done and come from it. And like I said, I've never, ever in the history of independent wrestling did I ever see another tag team step up and take the moniker and the name of an established team like Tommy and JP did. So that's a first. But I mean, just overall, you know, from the time we met him when he was 15 fucking years old till he passed. And I want to tell that. We want to tell. And there's going to be, you know, artistic license and creative freedom with this. Like I said, I don't want anybody to see us at the end and say they didn't say this or they didn't say that. It's going to be not all doom and gloom. It's going to be an honest reflection on the 25 years of the Backseat Boys, including some stuff from Johnny's past. And, you know, it might be difficult to delve into, you know, but these guys have persevered. Johnny's been a fixture in the independent wrestling scene for fucking 25 years, dude. You know, I mean, even though he kind of came and went, he's never really gone away all the way. The door wasn't all the way shut. It was always open a little bit, a few inches, so he could kind of peek in and check out what was going on. But he's back, and he's making the business better for everybody. So at least all you guys out there who think you know Johnny and you know the story, you can watch this when it's done. And we have no timetable right now. I think over the next couple of weeks, months, whatever, we're going to cultivate and then sit down with the producers, right? Is that what you want to do?
Well, you know, I've been talking a lot with JP and Johnny over this, and, you know, you kind of hit the nail right on the coffin. Why stop at, you know, just talking about Trent when there is over 25 years of stories to be told? Some people who have never even been, you know, taken up on a interview with pen and paper. So I want to hear those stories. This is not just the Tommy Grayson hour. This is not just, you know, let's sit here and, you know, bury everyone who ever stiffed us. No. I don't want that at all.
That's stupid. Yeah.
The collective vision is to tell the stories that have not been told. Tell the stories of when you guys, you know, drove down to work for NWA Wildside and getting changed under the bridge, and, you know, actually have people who might have worked with you there who might not have ever been, you know, interviewed on camera. I want to hear from these guys. I want to hear from guys like Doomsday Danny Rose and Adam Flash, and, you know, the list goes on and on, because you guys have such a storied history. And the fact that I could even just be a branch on the tree that is the Backseat Boys, I want to do it right. And I know that if there was any like big production Hollywood executive behind it, you know, any of the good stuff would be cut. Nothing's going to be cut here. This is going to be well done, well executed. And I'm excited. Real excited.
Well, I know Johnny, you spoke at length with the producers from Dark Side as well. And the thing that I made abundantly clear, and I did my research, I talked to a few people that have been interviewed on Dark Side, so I kind of knew what the approach was, like when they had Dreamer with the plane ride from hell, you know what I mean, trying to make it look a certain way through editing. So I just told them out and outright, I have no interest in doing talking head for a piece that's just going to bury and talk about doom and gloom. I said, if that's what you want, I don't want no part of it. But when we really spoke and we peeled the onion a little bit and got to the what it was going to be about, the rise and fall and the rise again as far as his legend goes, then I was interested. And I said, if we can tell it this way, I think you have a better chance than if you tell it this way. And she kind of agreed with me. and redid her presentation based on that. It was more of a journey of hope through the darkness into the light, through the darkness again, and at the end to the light, maybe hoping to find peace that he couldn't find here. So I don't know. I don't know if when they finally reached out to any living family members, if they kiboshed it or whatever. I hope not. And I hope if we do this project that somebody can get it into their hands and just realize that, Jesus Christ, man, all we ever wanted to fucking do was put out content and make people remember Mike, Trent, Verdi, like we do. And we love him. And he loved wrestling. So I could never understand why anybody would be against this shit. I get it. It's painful. And it brings up bad memories for the family. And they might blame wrestling for his demise and, you know, whatever. I hope that they can come to a place in their life and watch this and think that we did him proud. That would be, if nothing else, if one person saw it, his mom or his aunt or any family members, they'd say, oh, this is cool, man. And just have something that they could click on whenever they want and watch Mike do what he did better than just about anybody in the fucking world at that point, dude. I'll say it.
Yeah. We got Relic in the comment right now. Just seemed like a shame if these guys died of drugs and no one is saying it. Maybe some folks, juggalos, can learn from this tragedy. You know, yeah. you bring up a good point. It doesn't even necessarily have to be juggalos or anyone, but you know, anyone who has a story involving the backseats and involving, you know, the culture, we want to be upfront and honest while not glorifying any of the past of, you know, what we've come to realize. This is about hope. Donnie said it best. Every story has a dark turn and we're not shying away from that, but
yeah,
we're not selling it either. You take it and you give it. That's always been the backseat method. You have to put in order to get results. And, you know, I don't want this to just be a glorification of the downfall of Mike Verdi. I want this to be about how Trent inspired people like my brother and I, like Jordan Oliver, like Charlie Tiger, like every other wrestler who goes out there and hits a Yakuza kick or does the, you know, the Rick Rude hip thrust today. You know, that's what this documentary is going to be about. Guys like Donnie B, Mark, guys like Donnie B who have done nothing but give back to the world of wrestling and just create opportunities for people. Guys like Johnny Cashmere, who probably loves wrestling more than anybody I've ever met in my life. And the reason I say this is because he'll sit there and come up with ideas for other people that we've never even met. That's how much he loves this business.
At the end of the day, guys, Trent wasn't good at many things in this world, but he was great at one thing, pro wrestling. And if you can find what you're great at and it matches your desire and passion, you'll be one of the richest men in the world. And at one point he was. And then this story, as well as the whole backseat thing, will be a story of redemption and hope and fruition. And the ultimate goal at the end of the day for me, one of the reasons I got back in with Johnny and doing stuff with you guys, I truly believe in my heart of hearts that I can click on either NXT or AEW or whatever it is, a major company, WWE, and see Tommy and JP on that TV screen. And for me personally, Don Bucci, if I was able to see that, I think that in my heart, that one small piece that was never fulfilled in the business, I could go to my grave easy saying they did what Johnny and Trent could have done if the road was a little bit different. In my heart of hearts, I 1,000,000% believe that they have the skill set to be a viable commodity in a pro wrestling company on a full-time basis in the United States. And I will do everything in my power to facilitate that. I believe that's it. You know what I mean? Like that would do my heart justice. And I think Trent would look down and say, oh man, they fucking made it, dude. I think it would be awesome. So that's my ultimate goal for you guys. And listen, if we don't get there, whatever, we'll give it a shot. But I hope everybody checks us out when it comes out and we'll give updates as we go along.
Yeah. Guys. And you know, I say all the time that coincidences are like signposts on the side of the road saying you're going the right direction. I know I got to get it on a t-shirt. Okay. But the fact that we are at the 25 year anniversary of the Backseat Boys as a brand is pretty crazy coincidence. And then you look up, well, what is a 25 year anniversary? Well, it's a silver anniversary. Yeah. So then I look up, well, why is it a silver anniversary? Okay, because, you know, we always say we're your knights in shining armor. We've said that forever. We wear silver, right? The silver anniversary came about because knights in their shining armor, after 25 years of being a knight, got a silver coin, kind of like you know, to commemorate that they were a knight for so long. So here at our 25 years, all this gets drudged up. Dark Side of the Ring contacts us out of nowhere, like, yo, we want to do a piece on Trent Acid.
Mm-hmm.
The coincidences are piling up so much, Donnie and Tommy, that even if we just sit on our asses and do nothing, I feel like something is being done.
Right.
Without it's happening regardless. So we right. might as well have our voice in the pile of voices that honor Trent Acid, because ours is going to be the most accurate, you know. And it's like Relic was saying in the chat, a lot of people don't talk on things when wrestlers die of drugs and stuff. And the reason is because the only people that really can talk on it are those closest, because just talking about it rips a scab for the family and for all the friends that were so close to him.
Yeah.
And wrestling should be a brotherhood. Maybe it's turning into a prison playground on the indies, but it still should be a brotherhood. And when you lose somebody, there should be a certain solemnity to it where it's taken seriously and you're not out sensationalizing the story to get reactions out of people, because it makes the whole wrestling business look bad. It really does. And guys like Trent Acid, to sum him up by saying, oh, he died because of this reason. Okay, but can you sum up George Washington by saying, well, he did this when he was 17? No, that's, you can't take the worst thing in someone's life and use it to sum them up, just like you can't necessarily use the best thing. The human being exists somewhere in the middle of the best and worst thing they've done in their lives. And our job as documentary filmmakers is to try to capture that essence in the Backseat Boys documentary after 25 years.
I'm excited for it.
Me too.
Skills, I'm really looking forward to it.
Skills, where can people buy tickets for your show, for Wynn? How can they follow Wynn? How do they, for the 21st coming up?
Yeah, so our tickets are at Eventbrite. Wrestling is now LLC. Catch all, you can follow us there. And for the most part, wrestling is now on all platforms. And on YouTube. Wrestling is now on YouTube. Follow us on YouTube. We're dropping content. Well, we were dropping content there. Let me stop, because we just got that Roku deal. So I think everything is going to Roku right now. We're not messing with YouTube right now.
Check out Wrestling is Now on the Roku channel. And also make sure that you check out the Backseat Boys at For Us Wrestling October 4th.
We got some wrestlers from For Us Wrestling, actually.
I saw.
That's right. We got Brother Jeeves there.
Yeah, Jeeves is coming to win. That's going to be great.
And man, what I said, the Suicide Boys?
Yep. Yes. That's right.
Man, you guys are reaching out. It's like how SPO brings Decker in from Calgary. You guys are like, well, we'll bring someone in from far away too.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, hell yeah.
That's cool, man. See some outside talent. I love it.
Yeah. Yep. And real quick, I want to give a shout out to the guys over at Horror Slam for having us. We are going to be out there October 11th with such talent such as the Duke of the Wicked, Violent J, WWE Superstar Rhino, Facade Danny Moe, the Backseat Boys, Shane Mercer, and many more.
Jasmine St. Clair was in that. Did you see that, Donnie? Pop that back up. Yeah, hell yeah. So, Donnie, let me ask you a question. If you were like in your teens or in high school, I personally would be afraid to go to this. Look at those four guys all the way up top. I wouldn't go sit in the crowd. I would think that I was going to get hurt.
Nah, bro. Years ago, I did a monster bash for PCW and we had a battle royal. And in the battle royal, there was 25 or 30 horror icons, Michael Myers, Leatherface. I even had, little known trivia fact, Frankie Kazarian was Darth Vader on that show. And we actually had a little person on the event also who did double duty in the battle royal. He was Mini Me from Austin Powers, and then he got bumped. And when Vader was in the ring, Vader came in and used a force push. This is what Cannon was going nuts for. He used a force push to throw Scream, the Scream guy with the white mask.
Ghostface?
Yeah, Ghostface. He threw him through a door that was in the corner using the force push. Crowd went nuts. The lights dim and the doors open of the PCW set, and out comes Yoda. So little Yoda came out in the ring and battled Vader with force push and bumped Vader over the top rope, and the crowd went fucking nuts, dude. That's a true story. That happened in Tom's River, New Jersey.
Of course it did. Today it'd be Grogo coming out.
Oh, that's Grogu? Over.
Grogu, whatever. Donnie, can I ask you a question? Let me ask you a question. I was on Mammoth's TikTok show a couple months ago, and he put out a clip today of something I said. And we were talking about, are we in a wrestling renaissance right now? It's always hard to see the forest for the trees when you're in the actual era. You always look back and say, oh, that was the Attitude Era. That was the Monday Night War Era. Are we in a renaissance right now, do you think? Are the signs there?
I don't think so. And I'll just say, if you have to say you're in something, you're not. You know, the WWE's on fire. AEW's still doing pretty good. But I think the WWE, you could argue, is doing gangbuster business right now. But, you know, they did lose that deal on Fox. And the reason they lost it on Fox is because Fox said they couldn't generate sufficient ad revenue to cover the expense. So I'm not saying wrestling's not hot. Of course it is. WWE is doing great. They got Netflix coming up. All the boys are making great paydays, and the money's better than ever. But I don't know if it's a renaissance. I mean, at one point, there was 8 to 10 million people every week watching Monday Night Raw in the 90s. Now, AEW can't even break a million. And that's, I'm not knocking them, but in WWE's around 2 million, whatever, for Raw.
It's still a lot of people. Different. It's a different business, you know. The 90s was the peak of cable television and must see TV.
And there's different ways to watch it. And listen, I get all that. I'm not some old head. I understand all of it with Nielsen and streaming and all that, and that's cool. And I'm not saying it's not hot, but I'm saying I wouldn't say it's a renaissance. I'd say more of a rebound period from what it was a few years ago, where the guys can actually depend on making money. The indies, I have no real clue if a lot of them are making money or they're just kind of keeping their head above water. I don't know how many shows or events are really profitable. There seems to be a lot of promoters out there who will just spend $10,000 to make $8,000. And if they lost $2,000, they still call it a success, which I never understood. But it's a different mindset, dude. So I just think if AEW can straighten out a little bit and get some stuff going with them, it'll be even hotter. And the more places to work and the hotter the businesses overall, the better it is for the boys. I've always said that. And the ultimate goal should be everybody who's in those companies to make as much money as they can so they can support their families when they can no longer wrestle or do something else. That's all. So I would say it's a rebound period more than a renaissance.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Interesting. Relic, you had mentioned JC Bailey earlier. I only mentioned this because I do recall the anniversary of his death being recently. Unfortunately, he died of post-concussive syndrome, CTE, and really young. So that just goes to show you how much damage he had done to his body. But no, it was not drug-related, unfortunately. It's a long-standing rumor. So I just wanted to clear that up. And since we're on the topic of Star Wars, I want to give a quick RIP to the legend himself, James Earl Jones. Rest in peace, sir.
Well said. Often overlooked as the lead heel in Conan, too. A lot of people forget that. That's when I was first introduced to James Earl Jones. Obviously, Vader in the 70s, but you didn't really, at that point, 78, 70, whenever Star Wars came out, 77.
Yeah.
You don't look up who the goddamn voice of Darth Vader is. But
no, but you know, Mufasa. Tom,
you might know this, but he actually is credited for making the single worst financial deal ever in Hollywood history. A lot of people don't notice. James Earl Jones was given the choice, either a flat percentage fee or back end points in money on Star Wars. And he took the upfront one day fee or whatever it was that he took. I can't remember if it's $3,000 or $5,000, whatever it is, it's whatever the money is. But he took that. The gentleman that played Obi-Wan Kenobi took the other deal. The points. His name escapes me. I feel like an asshole for not knowing
it. Alec Guinness.
He took that deal. And to this day, his estate still makes money from that. And if James Earl Jones was interviewed many times, he said that was the absolute worst deal I ever made in my life, was taking the upfront money.
Is James Earl Jones and Arn Anderson, where he looked the same age in 78 as he did when he died 2 days ago?
Yeah, pretty much. When he was up on the throne, the lead heel of Conan, like he looked exactly like he did. And just a cool career, man. It goes to show you, dude, he was working up until like a few years ago, whatever, I think, right? So you could just go to his house with a microphone and say, hey, James, we need you to speak into this microphone and say this, and we'll pay you X amount of money. And everybody will go, oh, shit, that sounds like James Earl Jones from 1985.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You got to think Vincent Price had that, Casey Kasem. There's a few
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
Kevin Conroy, rest in peace.
If he applied it, there's a guy in the WWE right now that I think could actually be huge with voice work, and that's Damian Priest.
Yes.
Damian Priest, I'm telling you, dude. He actually, I just listened to an interview with him the other day. He was up for the role of Namor in the Black Panther sequel.
Wow.
He's a huge comic book guy. He was up for the role. It was his role. And all he would say was it was taken from him, not by Marvel. He pretty much alluded to Vince not wanting to do it. But yeah, if you listen to it, it was on the Chris Van Vliet interview show. And Priest said the role was his. He was supposed to be Namor. And, you know, it didn't work out. But I think he would have been a hell of a Namor, actually.
Hell yeah. Damn.
That's a good interview. If people want to listen to the struggles of a young, he's 40, but a guy who really fucking busted his ass in the business to get somewhere, you listen to that interview, you'll learn a lot, man. I'm glad to see that. I don't know him at all, never met him, but that's a real cool story of perseverance, dude, from living in your car and living on the goddamn street to being the world champ at WrestleMania. Priest. Yeah, Damian Priest.
He touched on that at SummerSlam.
Did he? Okay, I didn't know that, but a hell of a story, dude. I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
And he's a Rockland County alumni, so shouts out to him.
Really? I didn't know that. I don't, like I said, I know he went to Monster Factory, but I don't know much other than that. I don't, never met him, but
I think he went to high him. I think he went to high school either at Nyack or Clarkstown, one of the cities from around here. I'm
good
not
to see
too
a guy
familiar.
Who worked his ass off, man. That
yeah.
BJ. I love to see that.
BJ said I dated his fiance when I was 14.
Really?
There's so much wrong with that comment. I love it.
Wow.
And I love the Priest documentary on Peacock. So I guess Peacock,
I didn't even know there was one. Yeah.
Damian Priest documentary. Holy shit. And we did get an update from Mr. Bristow. His son got stung 8 times, but he is okay. Thank I got God, stung man. 3 that times sucks. The other day and I was okay, but I'm not a kid. That he's going to be swollen and have to go to school tomorrow. So our
chubby little 9-year-old Don Bucci was running around the DuPont family picnic back in the day when my dad worked for DuPont Chemical Company and they had an Easter egg hunt. And I stumbled into the Easter egg hiding spot, which happened to be a beehive. And I was stung 34 times, dude.
Whoa.
This is a shoot. They had to bring me to the hospital and run these gigantic magnet gimmicks over me to get the stingers out. Regular
it's like
bees.
That. Gosh. It's like
the
that
bees,
movie.
Bro, the bees were still chasing me. My dad was taking his hands and smashing and killing the bees as they were trying to land on me and on the picnic table. They laid me on a picnic table and like covered me in ice and shit and then brought me to the hospital. It was in Farmingdale. Jeez. DuPont family picnic, probably circa 83, maybe? 82? True story.
No thanks. Good it's Lord, like that movie dude. With Macaulay Culkin, My Girl.
Oh, yeah. Didn't he do the job at the end from Beast?
Yeah, he did.
No, I never
he
saw
did.
It. I've heard of it. So that,
nowadays,
ended on that note, yeah.
Nowadays, it would just be a peanut at the end that would do him in.
Peanut, where peanut at?
He ate a peanut and he's gone. He's no longer with us.
Oh, poor guy.
But so, Skills, how do people follow Win? You can go on Instagram and you can follow Wrestling Is Now.
Exactly, and the same thing for the Facebook. I wanted to talk about the heavyweight championship.
Please.
Yeah. I can. Yeah, so our heavyweight champion, Joey Conway, he got injured, unfortunately. So he's vacated the title. So, and our next event is going to guarantee a new champion. And he was our inaugural champion. So, is going to guarantee this is the first time anybody's going to win the championship other than Joey Conway.
Wow.
So, yeah, I wanted to say the people in the matchup.
Sure.
Which is going to be El Jefe Adrian Santos.
Hell yeah.
Which this is a powerhouse. Yep. Then you got the finisher, Steve Pena. This dude is another monster. Then you got, you know, he's one of the best around in the East Coast right there. You got PJ Savage.
Nice.
And then you got the one and only Joel Maximo. As our fourth.
Hit the music. So you want to be a rock superstar?
Live large.
So that one's going to be a good one right there. So that's guaranteeing a champion right
Skills.
There.
Joel's killing it, yo. I heard you guys were at Game Changer Wrestling in Asbury Park. I heard you guys had a sick match. One of my friends was in the crowd, said it was sick.
Yeah. Now that crowd was crazy. It was packed up in there. But yeah, it was awesome. Energy was insane. You know, it's always good
you
to be
were out there too.
In GCW, of course. Yeah, facts. Been out
that
there.
That guy
a
does
times.
A hell of a job. I've said it once. I've said it before. If I was Tony Khan, I'd be on the phone yesterday with Brett Lauderdale and ask him what it would take to bring him aboard as one of my lead town promoters. It's not a fucking no brainer. I would not let him leave the building until he put pen to paper.
Yeah, he's good.
Oh, I know. Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And them fans.
Yeah.
Them GCW fans ain't no joke.
But they built that. You know what I mean? Like, they built that Facts. Fan base. So you can replicate that. And he knows what he's doing, bro. I think Brett Lauderdale is the number one independent promoter in the country. There you go. I said it. I've said it a million times. I said it to his face, I think, when we were at Trent's Hall of
you
Fame
did.
Thing. I think I did. I think, Brett, yeah. You're the number one promoter in the United States. So,
yep, that's when he punched you. Yeah, it was funny.
He hit me with his finish.
That was Sabu. It. Tackle drop down, pay Sabu a deposit.
Oh my god,
that was the.
He handled it like a champ. I'll give him that.
Yeah,
he did. He, right on Twitter.
He gave it back though. Sabu refunded money.
What's funny is we're sitting at the table and Donnie B looks at me and he's like, "Cheezak Twizzler." I'm like, what?
"Yeah."
Like, how did you see Brett start messing on his phone and know to tell me check Twitter?
Because I know that look. I know that promoter's look that something's going awry. And we were getting down to the nitty gritty of Sabu not there yet. And I saw him frantically typing away. And I'm like, all right, this is either an explanation as to where is Sabu or he's sending out to his underlings. Like, where is he? Get him. And then I saw him going along on the phone, typing. And then I look on Twitter and I see that thing. And that Sabu was downstairs refusing to come up. And I'm like, oh, there it is. But
come up and make money.
So before we head off, you guys, Skills, thank you for joining us.
Definitely.
Are you guys going to watch the is anyone watching the MTV Music Awards tomorrow night?
I definitely will be for one particular reason.
Why is that?
Is Fartman on it?
No, Fartman will not be on it. But as announced by the Wicked Clowns themselves, they will be walking the red carpet at the VMAs. And it will be taking place in Long Island, New York. So everyone make sure that you watch the red carpet live event that they're doing on YouTube. And, you know, if you look close enough, you just might see something that you might not have expected.
Ooh.
Yep.
Now
and remember,
thank you.
You guys, Gage vs. Blade, first time ever.
Gotch vs. Blade.
We're going to talk more about that next week. I like that Rick on again before that show to talk about what that means.
We definitely have to have them on to talk about it. And Simon Gotch is going to still be running his seminar. Everybody, Donnie B is going to be sponsoring three people. We've already had people reaching out to Donnie looking for to try to get sponsored, and two at least one standout will be on the event that night. So email bookingsimon@yahoo.com to check that out. And before we leave, guys, I found this banging Batman custom action figure. And I'm thinking if I ever do a death match again, I don't know why I say if, when I do a death match again, check that out, dude.
Whoa. Oh, shit.
The Batman. What is it? This isn't the Italian Batman again that the action figures came out for the Italian Batman recently. And it's funny Batman. Looking. But this
looks like Tim Drake, Red Robin. That's what it looks like.
But like, why the yellow, the red, the purple? It's a strange color scheme, but it somehow works. And then what's that down there between his legs? There's two black straps or something.
Wow.
We don't. Is that the Bat Belt?
I gotta be honest, Johnny. I'm not looking through Batman's legs.
Utility
I'm not
belt
in between Batman's legs.
Well, Relic, talk to Revolver. Make sure you get him out because we want to come out to Texas.
Oh, we do. All right. Well, you guys, thank you all for joining us. Next Tuesday, we're going to have the series Trip TV right after the Spocast. So next week's Spocast, we might have very special, very big guests. So we're going to be announcing it very soon. So stay tuned and take my advice. Start making it to the Spocast at 7 p.m. exactly, because we're going to start getting 7 p.m. guests who only might stay for 5 or 10 minutes like Gilbert did. And if you're late, y'all going to miss it. So make sure you get here right at 7 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
Sound good?
That's right.
All right.
Thank you,
buddy. Have a great week, everybody.
Peace out.
Thank you. Peace.